Blog Talk Radio.
It's a hard road to heaven. We call on your blessings and the Father to put our faith. King of the kingdom, our demons are trembling. Holy angels defending and the Father to put our faith.
I'm holding on, but I don't know if I can take it much longer. Today's the day that I put all of my trust and faith in you, Father. Please let this hate make me stronger, for they turn on me like a zombie. It's like I'm being strangled, unconscious. When temptation is almost like Satan is facing you, trying to take you away from your daughter, dangling on a bunch of painkillers on your way, venom in your face, and then watch them coming extra strict. And that's why they make them in rectangular objects, cause that's the shape of a coffin. Though it ain't medication, it's time, but the devil's taking me on, and I ain't gonna let him break me, cause I'm a soldier. You can bank on that promise, like the Chamber of Commerce. So my savior, I call on to rescue me from these depths of despair. So these demons better step like a stair, because he is my shepherd. I'm armed with Jesus, my weapon is prayer. Soon as I squeeze it, I'm blessed like sneezes. Call me Jesus, I'm etched in the head. Maybe I'm bonkers, regardless, never claimed to be flawless. Long as the mistakes I've acknowledged, all wish I would say something positive. Well, okay, then I'm positive. They'd rather trade better with Mayweather, cause they would fare way better with the mods than they would exchanging. Some bars are trading, any bars were shady, and it probably is painfully obvious to compare godliness to an atheist. But I got them audience is raving, and amidst my squabbles I got some awesome inspiration to draw from off on pen and paper. I'm knocking them off, woke up on stage, it's a concert, whole place go like a mosh pit, Bible at my side like a rifle with a God-given gift. Every single day I thank God for, that's why I pay so much homage, praises to Jesus. I'll always
use this gospel for protection. It's a hard road to heaven. We call on your blessings and the Father to put our faith. King of the kingdom, our demons are trembling. Holy angels defending and the Father to put our faith.
Everybody, welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. I'm my co-host via satellite from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Our boy Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man, doing good. How's it going?
That's good, man. Glad to have you on the show, man. As always, and ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being on, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you, as always, for checking out this show, Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Donovan Mitchell Knickerbocker debacle. That's the title of today's show. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to tell you my thoughts on the failed attempt at getting Donovan Mitchell. Also talk to you about the state of the Mets and the Yankees, as the Yankees rebounded, thanks to Aaron Judge winning by the final score 2-1 against the Rays. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Mets, losing the series to the Nationals 2 days in a row by the final score of 7-1. We'll talk to you about this huge week in pro wrestling with three pay-per-view events going on this week. Yesterday was the Castle of the Clash at the Castle. Yesterday, WWE, and then you had NXT and AEW having pay-per-views today. As a matter of fact, I think the AEW one is still going on as we speak. But most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, you know the most important part of the show? Feel free to call in, and that's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. So, again, thank you again for listening to this episode of Sports and the Legend. I'm William Ramo. This is Macaulay Matthew, and let's just tip off with some unfortunate Knicks basketball, man. Basically everybody and their mother was saying, oh, Donovan Mitchell's come to the Knicks. Knicks are the leading candidate. And then they said on, what was it, Monday or Tuesday, they said, the Cavaliers are dropping out. For weeks, for months, they were saying, there's three teams that Donovan Mitchell wanted to be traded to. It's the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Miami Heat. And then after it was then Cavaliers popped up last week, it seemed like last year, because this saga has been going on forever, man. And, they were saying, the Cavaliers are jumping in. And then they said, wait a minute, the Cavaliers are dropping out. It's going to be, it looks like it's just going to be the Knicks and these three teams. And the Knicks, they got 7 picks. They got 11 picks, draft picks coming up, and they're going to win. They're going to get the thing. And there was one voice crying out. Seemingly, it seemed like, it was just me, in an asylum, because I seemed like I was the crazy one for months saying it's not going to happen. As much as I want it to happen, it's not going to happen. And you got the footage, you got the evidence, you got the receipt. Every week I've told you guys and ladies that it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it. And I quote, I will believe it when I see it. Because every time the Knicks are trying to go after somebody, or any team that I root for want to go after somebody, most chances they're not going to get that person. And the state of the Knicks is basically no superstar wants to come here, and we can't trade for, no team wants to trade with us to get said superstar. And that was the case of that demon called Danny Ainge, man. He used us. He played us like a cheap fiddle. He got that Rudy Gobert deal where he fleeced the Timberwolves for that move. And he was hell bent on doing it. The former Celtic, he wanted to screw with us, man. And I knew it, man. I knew he was gonna play with us. He was gonna play us. And he didn't even give us a chance, the Knicks, to counter-offer the Cavs deal, and he spied us. I think it was the very next day after we signed R.J. Barrett to that contract extension, 4-year 120 contract, four-year contract. The very next day, on Tuesday, they made the deal, because reportedly the Knicks said, hey, if you don't make a deal with us today, we're going to sign R.J. Barrett. And sure enough, they signed R.J. Barrett to the 4-year deal, which I'm happy about, because I think R.J. Barrett should have never been in this deal to begin with, because to me, he's untouchable. He's the only untouchable Nick that we have on this team. You know what I'm saying? So he did not deserve to get traded, period. If I had to give up Obi Toppin, which I didn't want to give up, so be it. If I had to give up Emmanuel Quickley, even though I didn't want to, so be it. Quentin Grimes, the deal. He has talent and potential. Don't want to give him up. But obviously, like I've been saying for every single week, hey, As long as it's not RJ Barrett, you know, you got to give something to get something. And unfortunately, as usual, the Knicks get nothing because Knicks get nothing but egg in their face year after year after year after two decades. Q-Wings trade is still haunting us to this day because this team, and if you want to go even farther, this team hasn't won a title in 73, since 1973, which is almost 50 years from now, ladies and gentlemen. And you know this. You know this, man. And like I've been telling you, man, there's a conspiracy, man. They don't want the Knicks to win a title, man. They don't want the Knicks to win a title, man. So we've had nothing but horrible, horrible GMs running the show for the past 20 years, with the exception of Donnie Walsh, who they drove out of the out of Madison Square Garden, you know, and forced him to a quote unquote retirement, and then afterwards, with the very next year, he returns back to the Pacers. I mean, come on, man, and it's just horrible corruption with all these horrible GMs, horrible moves, and then you got players who don't want to come here because of the said, you know, dysfunction in this organization. And then when a player who basically wants to play in New York, who reportedly grew up a Knicks fan, obviously he's a diehard Mets fan, he wants to come to the Garden, force his way out of Utah Jazz, but you can clearly see he wants to come to New York. He wants to play for the Knicks. You know, he showed up at Mets games, man. He threw out the first pitch for the Cyclones, and he was in this city, you would have thought he was Mayor Eric Adams, man. That's how much you've seen him. But no, the stinking National Basketball Association, the organization that made me become a diehard sportsman, who inspired me to do this show because I love sports. I live and die with sports, and this is how they do this, man. They always it's just so aggravating, man. It's like they have it out for the Knicks. They don't want the Knicks to succeed. They allow these corrupt GMs and people to come into the Knicks organization and ruin this organization. And then when you have TV shows, movies, and cartoons basically knocking the Knicks for the past 20 years because they have been the poster child of dysfunction. And there's like no – and then this past year, you see some signs, especially the last year, when Randall actually showed up and was actually – you know, representing the orange and blue that allow him to be the most improved player. But no, flip the switch. Faster than you could say, bing, bong, we're in the ping pong again because we were gonna try to go after Donovan Mitchell. We were going to put all our chips in to try to improve this team. And no, yet again, the Knicks, they strike out. Or you could say they shot with as the time expired, if you want to use a basketball analogy. And the same old Knicks, man. What's your thoughts on this, Mac?
Well, I mean, I didn't believe it until I saw it. And, I mean, from the get-go, I didn't think the Knicks were close to getting Donovan Mitchell. I mean, to get Donovan Mitchell, they had to give up a lot from what it was sounding like. And that would have included R.J. Barrett, who they just re-signed to a ridiculous contract. R.J. Barrett is good, don't get me wrong. But what they signed him to, I mean, come on now. That was a ridiculous contract. But I didn't have my hopes up like other Knicks fans did. You know, I was very pessimistic. You know, because I've seen Knicks fail time and time again, you know, in trying to get these big free agents. And, I didn't think we were going to get Donovan Mitchell, to be honest with you. You know, I think the Knicks needed to give up a lot, and they weren't going to do that, it sounds like. And they got screwed. And it sounded like Danny Ainge was trying to screw the Knicks even. You know, by trying to get more pieces from them, pieces that the Knicks can even offer. But at the end of the day, you know, it just didn't work out in our favor. And typical Knicks, like we've been saying for the past decade, you know, we try to go after the big free agent. at the end of the day, we don't get them. So just got to move on at this point.
It is what it is, man. It's, it, I mean, and like I said, man, I knew we wasn't, you know, we wasn't gonna get them. You know, even though they were saying, "Oh, they're the favorites, they're the favorites, favorites," they pulled the whole Lucy from Peanuts, you know that trick she, the football trick she does with Charlie Brown, where they just tantalize you. Oh, you know, the Knicks are the favorite. The Knicks are gonna get a superstar, a guy who's 25 who can score 25 a game, and then the Knicks don't get nothing. The Knicks don't get nothing, and then you know, even when they say, oh, even if they get them, you know, they're just gonna be a best second round exit, you know, and then the Cavaliers get them, and oh, you know, they're vaulted, and yes, of course the Cavs have a better roster than we did even before. What's his name? You know, Donovan Mitchell got traded over here, and now they're in the top four of teams because they actually, you know, they actually you know, rebuild properly. I mean, they've been rebuilding great for like almost a decade, you know, because once LeBron took his talent to Miami Beach, they got the first pick and got Kyrie, and then when LeBron won his two titles and took his talents back to Cleveland, because they set it up perfectly, you know, Kyrie and LeBron were able to, along with Kevin Love, won the title, that elusive title that Cleveland hasn't had, you know, since, you know, the NFL with the Cleveland Browns, you know, winning the NFL title, you know, predating the, you know, Super Bowl. So in 64. So it just boggles the mind, man. Like, it's like they don't want the Knicks to win, because it's like as long as the Celtics and the Lakers are good. I mean, obviously the Lakers, you know, went through tough times, right? You know, this past season, but you know the Lakers are always gonna bounce back. You know, they're always gonna find a way to get another star player to come to the Lakers and rebound. Just like I said when LeBron signed over there, and people were like, oh, the Lakers are not going to win a title. The Lakers are not going to win a title. And like I've said, I did a YouTube video on it. I talked about it on the show when it happened. I said, hey, the Lakers are the Yankees of basketball. They can get anybody to come to the Lakers and help them win a title. I even said if LeBron James could get people to come to Cleveland to play with him, he could get people to come with him in L.A. Sure enough, they got AD. And then the rest is history. They won that title, you know, which was, you know, obviously, you know, that whole season was a tribute to the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, that year, you know. So, sure enough, they won that title. And it's like the league. It's like as long as the Lakers and the Celtics are doing good, you know, they don't care, you know. And, you know, that's it. They don't care about the Knicks. The Knicks, the oldest franchise in the league. And it's like they don't care, you know. It's just... It's just, you know what I mean? They treat us like the Detroit Pistons, you know, like from the Bad Boys days. It's like, it don't matter if we play, you know, we play defense, we play hard historically. It's like we're just, you know, forgotten, you know what I mean? I guess because we're not like the Showtime Lakers who just, I don't know, razzle-dazzle people, you know what I mean? So it's just, the Knicks, I don't know, man. I'm just hoping.
Razzle-dazzle.
I'm just saying, man, hopefully, these young guys, that's the only silver lining with this non-trade is that, you know, now we get to see these young guys hopefully flourish hopefully with two things. Two things have to happen in order for these young Knicks to prosper, to really, for them to get a legit chance to show their potential. That's one. Tom Thibodeau got to play these guys. He has to play these guys. He can't be playing the veteran guys all these minutes like he usually does. And two, which goes with the part one of what I'm saying, is that even, yes, Julius Randle, I mean, is relatively young, you know, age-wise. However, basketball-wise, you know, he's been in the league for, like, what, maybe a decade or so? You know, I mean, problem is he's ball dominant. You know, once he gets that ball, he ain't passing it back to nobody. And the problem is he's not that type of guy. He's not he's not a franchise player. You know what I mean? So they gotta trade him. I don't care what team. I mean, preferably I would want to get him to get traded to LA, back to LA, where he started his career, and get that Russell Westbrook contract. And yes, I said Russell Westbrook contract because, you know, Russell Westbrook is making like $45 million or something like that, or $40 million. I forgot the actual number, but yeah, you get that guy, that contract, and it's a wash. Then you have salary cap for somebody to come here. You know what I mean? Get that contract, let it run out. Heck, you can even play the guy and see what you have, you know, for that 1 year. Or you get him and cut him. Either way, it's a win-win situation. I've been saying this whole year, even though you disagree with me. I think you're coming around to my theory that they should do this trade just so they could get rid of this Randall contract and have that cap space. You know, even though, obviously, most likely nobody's going to want to come here, but at least you have that cap space so you can have that flexibility of somebody who would potentially want to come here. So what do you think? Have you finally come around to my Randall for Westbrook trade?
No, because listen, what Russell Westbrook is getting up there in age. First of all, he turns the ball over a lot. You know,
Randall,
he's a playmaker. He's a great scorer, but I mean, Russell is getting up there in age, man. That's the number one thing. In Randall, at least you have a guy who's a little younger than he is, and he could still be a good piece on this team, you know, not as a first option, but as a second or third option, you know.
I agree with that.
So I think Randall can still help us in some way. And I think if you bring Russell Westbrook to the Knicks right now, he is going to pretty much impede the progress of some of these younger guys, which I do not want. So, I mean, you've seen in L.A., I do not want that in New York. So I wouldn't do that trade.
Okay.
I would do any other trade besides that.
Okay. What about, like I said, like my main focus of getting that, like I said, my main focus of getting that, making that trade is to get that salary, get that contract to, and you could waive him. The number one thing, the number one option, you could waive him. You don't have to deal with him. You got the cap.
It doesn't make no sense. How many times have we done that, though? How many times have we gotten the guy and then waived him to clear up salary? I mean, if you're going to get him, you might as well just keep him. I mean, what's the point?
I mean, I mean, ideally, if I'm gonna make a trade, you know, and you got a guy who's a potential future Hall of Famer, I mean, you see what you got in him, and if he played the way how he played in L.A., then you waive him. That's it. So to me it's a win-win situation. If you catch lightning in a bottle. And he actually, you know, he's playing, you know, he act right. He wants to try to, you know, redeem himself. He's finally trying to win that ring, and he sees that he could be that mentor and help the players and not be, even though he's a walking triple double, which is weird to say about him, you know.
Yeah.
A guy who's a chucker, who's a triple double dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know, but sometimes he is a bit too selfish.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, Russell Westbrook is a great player.
Of course.
He just want to be a good fit on the Knicks. You know, having him on the Knicks would be kind of like what we had when Stephon Marbury was here, or when we got guys like Steve Francis.
Right.
Or you know, like, we can't keep bringing these aging superstars to the Knicks and think they're going to help them out. You know, it's not going to happen. So
but
I mean,
at least
I get your point that you want to bring him here and then waive him, so that way there'd be a salary dump pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, if you're going to get him, you might as well keep him at that point, you know.
So you'd rather be stuck with Randall for another 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
Know?
If it, listen, I would have done Randall Donovan Mitchell. That's the trade I would have done. But there's no way Utah.
They don't want him.
Exactly. There's no way Utah would have got him. Exactly.
Nobody wants him except for us.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's rumor that Suns want him, you know, but I'll believe it when I see it, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe the Lakers, but I doubt that, you know. I mean, we shall see, you know. Like, there's rumors that, you know, Knicks might trade Russell Westbrook, get two first-round picks back, and then we give up him and Evan Fournier, and you get rid of that contract as well. That's the rumor. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, I strongly doubt that would happen, you know. But to me, I think it's a win-win situation because you have a guy who has a huge contract, 1 year, a walk year. You don't have to deal with him after that. You could cut him. That's another option, and that's it. Like, to me, it makes sense, you know. You get us under the cap, you know. If they could trade their pick, their top number one pick, for a salary dump, so they could get Jalen Brunson. This one makes even way more sense to get rid of Randall. You know, just like Russell Westbrook, they're both ball dominant. You know, but however, you know, you get rid of that contract of Randall, because if Randall is willing to relax and chill and be a team player and willing to be a third, you know, a third, second, third option on this team, then yeah, fine, we could keep him. But I just think he's done. You know, I think he's, you know, mentally he just wants to move on, where there's not that much pressure on him and he could just ball. You know what I mean? And if he gets straight to the Lakers, he could play alongside, you know, LeBron and AD. There's not going to be that much pressure on him instead of him being the guy like he was when he was playoffs against the Hawks, you know? And I think it's just in. I think Trae Young just scored another basket on us. So, I mean, yeah, let's just – I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. And, it, you know, if it's a no-brainer, that means it ain't going to happen. So it is what it is, man. We'll just see. Hopefully the, you know, Tom Thibodeau will give these guys a chance, because that's my only knock on Tom Thibodeau, because, you know, we've been preaching for the Knicks to get Tom Thibodeau for years, even before he went to Minnesota and became a GM/head coach to go after that guy. But, you know, my only knock on him is that he didn't play the young guys enough until, like, we got – like, knocked out, and basically then he finally played Obi Toppin. You saw Obi Toppin had, like, took back great games. I think it was, like, 35 points and 42 points, respectively. Emmanuel Quickly, you know, had a double-double, I think a triple-double back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken, too, or three of his last 10 games or some stat like that off my memory. But, yeah. This is your opportunity. And then Grimes, supposedly they won, Thibodeau wanted Grimes to keep Grimes more than Barrett. So, I mean, this is the opportunity to play these guys. You know what I mean? There's no pressure on these guys. It's not like we're expecting them to go to the playoffs anyway. So, and then with Jalen Brunson, you know, you have a guy who, you know, who following after his father's footsteps and playing for the Knicks, you know?
Yeah.
And let them, you know, let's see what these guys can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. Like, you know, I'm just tired of being played by these organizations, man. You know, I'm just tired of it, man. Let's just move on, focus on these young guys, play them, and see what we have. I mean, they're playing with house money. We're not expecting them to win a title. Shoot, if they made the playoffs, man, we would just – you saw how it was, like, 2 years ago. I mean, we were basically about to throw a Canyon of Heroes just because they made the playoffs that year. You know what I mean? Like, which is something, ironically, the Knicks have never done, because the 70 and 73 Knicks they never had a Canyon of Heroes. So, oddly enough, you know, if the Knicks ever win a title, I don't know what decade or century that's going to happen, but hopefully they'll finally get a Canyon of Heroes. So, we shall see. But switching gears to the Canyon of Heroes, a team that's very familiar with that. I don't know if you've heard of that team, Mac. I know you know you're out of the country, so you might not remember that this team. They've played the Blue Jays a few times. The New York Yankees.
That team. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that team, man. You know, they've lately, you know, they haven't been playing well. You know, they had at one point a 15.5 game lead in the division over now your hometown team, the Toronto Blue Jays, and you know, the Rays, who they just beat today. But yeah, the lead went down to 5, and now the Yankees, you know, they finally they won a game, and the Yankees are hoping that they're on back to their winning ways. So, you know, what are your thoughts? Aaron Judge hit his 53rd home run, and the Yankees are, you know, back. I think they won final score 2-1. So, yeah, what's your thought on the state of the Yankees?
Well, you know, the Yankees at one point, they had a 15.5 game lead over the Blue Jays and the Rays. And now that lead has shrunk down to 5. The Yankees, since the All-Star break, I mean, they've been playing, like, I think under they've been playing under 10 games under 500 ball, which is ridiculous because, you know, in the first half of the season, they look like they're unstoppable. Now they're looking like they're stoppable. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I know that there's been a variety of different things that have happened, you know, injuries, guys going into slumps, some pitchers, the injuries to pitchers, and pitchers not pitching well. So there's been a lot of things that have led to this lead being shrunk down to 5 games. But yeah, man, it's the Yankees look like a completely different team right now, and Judge has been doing his best to carry them offensively. But I mean, there's almost so much this guy can do. I mean, this guy can't hit home runs every game and help us win. You know, some of these other guys like Torres, IKF, Donaldson, they need to contribute as well. And even Stan, who just came back, but he's been slumping. You know, so this offense looks completely different right now. And to add injury to insult, Benintendi is now on the IL.
Yep.
You know, with an injury. So, and things are just going from bad to worse for the Yankees right now. And they just have to hope this lead, you know, they have to hope that they don't collapse completely. Because if they do, then this will be the worst collapse in baseball history. You go from 15.5 games up in the division, and now you're only down by 5? That's not a good look. It's not a good look. And Rays, you know, they've been playing good baseball, you know, so they're right on the Yankees' backs right now. So the Yankees got to get their acts together soon here, or else they might not even make the playoffs, which is tough to think.
I think they still would make the playoffs. I mean,
I think they will too, but I mean, the way they've been playing right now, I mean, the way they've been playing in the second half, they don't deserve to make the playoffs, honestly.
Facts.
So, that's my take.
Yeah, man, you sound like you did a mic drop. I mean,
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, what you said is facts, man. It's like, I mean, there's really nothing I can add to what you said. All I have to do is just co-sign what you said. I mean, because. Yeah, man. If the Yankees choke this division, man, it is easily the worst collapse. Even if the Yankees win the wild card, this would be the biggest collapse in baseball history, because you up 15 games, like, I mean, there's literally no excuse. Not to mention the Yankees, man, like, every year, the Yankees should start out 0-100. Everybody's going to pick them to win the World Series somehow. You know what I mean? Because Yankees, you know, they've been the gold standard of, you know, of baseball for over 100 years. So, you know, basically, it is what it is, man. So, if I'm not mistaken, next year's your 100th anniversary of your first title, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, you guys, you know, have been dominating the game of baseball, so. And Yankee fans are hoping this year is another year of that. So, you know, we will see. Time will tell. We're in September now, so all we got to do is wait a month to find out where the chips, when the chips fall where they may, where the Yankees will be. And most likely there will be postseason bound, most likely as the, you know, the AL East champions. A very familiar sound of them being AL East champions. But, yeah, it's really getting scary, you know, for the Yankees as the lead. But fortunately for them, you know, they beat the Rays, so they were able to keep them at bay for at least one more day. The Blue Jays are, behind them 6 games. But, you know, I think the Yankees are going to hold on, you know. Switching gears, a team that I'm extremely worried about, you know, blowing their lead in the division, which unfortunately would be 2 years in a row. And then, of course, we can't forget about what happened in 07 and 08 when the Nationals and the Marlins kept the Mets, basically helped the Mets collapse that season. And sure enough, after the Mets dominated the Dodgers and won the overall series 4-3, the season series, Mets had a letdown series, which, you know, is very Met-like, you know, over the years. You know, they've played up to their competition, facing the you know, teams like the Dodgers and, you know, the Yankees. But then, you know, these bottom-feeding teams like the Marlins and the Nationals are the ones that, you know, they beat up on the Mets if the Mets aren't taking them seriously. And, you know, that's what happened in this Marlins series. The Mets won the first game, and then the next couple of games, Saturday and tonight, or today, earlier today, they lost to the Nationals by the final score of 7-1. Scherzer, he pitched well, but unfortunately he got hurt. He had a fatigue on his side. And you know, as a precaution, he took himself out of the game. He doesn't think it's going to have any lasting effect with him, but you know, it's still scary to see Scherzer, you know, feel fatigued this late in the season. Obviously, you know, he's what, 38 years old or so it's gonna happen. But, you know, he wisely took himself out instead of pushing it to the sixth inning, going sixth and then potentially making it worse and getting hurt. Because if he gets seriously hurt, man, that's it. That you could kiss the postseason goodbye. You know. The Mets' success in the postseason, because you don't know when he's going to come back. Most likely he's going to be gone for the rest of the year. So as of right now, as we speak, he's expected to make his next start. They're going to push him back a day if he's able to make it. And apparently, reportedly, he didn't even take an MRI. So, you know, he's sure he's not really injured. But time will tell, man. Shoot, forget about the Yankees, man. The Yankees are going to throw their hat and teleport and be in the playoffs, you know. The Mets, man, they got a scratch and claw to make it to the playoffs. because the Braves, the defending champions are breathing down their neck. They can't lose a game, man. They're in Parker Lewis mode, man. They just can't lose, man. It don't matter, man. It's like they're scarier than Freddy Krueger, Jason, and Michael Myers combined, man. They just keep coming back, man. You can't bury these guys, man. They just keep coming back. It's just annoying. It's so annoying. And these guys, it don't matter how good you do. You throw a no-hitter. You win games when you come back six games behind. You have all these magical wins. And the Braves just keep winning. The Braves keep winning. And we're not even talking about the Phillies who've been playing a lot better, you know, since they got rid of your boy Girardi. But Chef Boyardee Girardi, you know, they've been cooking, you know, the Phillies, man. But number one team that scares me, man, it's the Braves, man. I'm not even scared of the Dodgers. The Braves, man. I just gotta get rid of those guys, man. And I don't want to hear that horrible Turner Field music of that. I don't want to hear it in the playoffs. I do not want to hear it, because if I hear that thing, I'm gonna get flashbacks of 2001.
You like,
you know,
it? Don't lie.
Jordan. What you said?
Like, you love it? Don't lie.
I hate it. You love it because you hate the Mets. You love that song. You love that song because you hate the Mets. Shoot, I know you want the rematch of the '99 World Series or the '96 World Series, because you know if you face the Braves, you're gonna beat them again, you know. But if you face us, you guys are gonna sweat it out. You guys are gonna be like, okay, could this be the destiny that
let's not go overboard here. I foretold
this. The Mets will beat the Yankees in the World Series. I can't tell you what year it is. Can't tell you what decade, what century, but it will happen. So believe it.
Hey,
it could be this year. You never know. You got to believe. You got to believe. So Mets got to do their job. They can't worry about the Yankees. You know, Mets got to try to win this division and keep the Braves at bay. And that's the name of the game right there. So time will tell, because it's really getting scary right now. I think it's down to one now, one game lead. Braves won again today. We lost because the Braves can't lose for some reason. They got to keep winning. You know, they want to win back-to-back championships, apparently. Something that, you know, the Smoltz, Glavin, and you know, Tripper Jones, Andrew Jones team's going to do. You know, thanks to you guys in 96. You know, they're trying to win back-to-back. So,
yeah, Braves are playing real good right now.
Read that.
Braves are playing real good right now.
Mhm. And most importantly, they locked up all of their young stars. I mean, which is something they never do, but they're going for it, man. I think they see the potential of the Mets. You know, the Mets are up and coming. You know, they got Cohen who's trying to, you know, spend money wisely to try to make them compete with the likes of the Dodgers, the Braves, Astros, and yes, even you guys. So the urgency of the Braves to try to defend their title is imminent. So Mets, you know, they gotta believe, they gotta put their foot on the gas, because right now, you know, they look like they're having a collision course with the Braves, and they do, as a matter of fact, because they're going to be facing the Braves, if I'm not mistaken, was that the second to last series or the last series of the season? It's not looking good. I mean, this is supposed to be the weaker part of the season. I mean, they are going to be facing the Pirates, but, you know, in baseball, anybody could beat anybody. So we will see. But, shifting gears, here's what happened In WWE. I guess we'll talk about what happened in NXT, and then you know what? Let's dive right into the Clash of the Champions, and then we'll get into AEW and NXT afterwards. So yeah, man, a very crazy Clash of the Champions went down yesterday. Drew McIntyre got his interest music back, the Broken Dream song. They had like a promo of his career, and you know, they played that, and then of course they played his current music. You know, he went toe to toe with Roman Reigns, basically in his backyard of England. And so, as I expected, Solo Sikoa made his WWE debut. He's the younger brother of the Usos. He pulled the referee out of the ring while the referee was trying to count, make the count for on the behalf of Drew McIntyre after he hit a claymore on Roman Reigns. And sure enough, Roman Reigns retains the WWE Universal Undisputed Champion, you know. So it's going to be at least another 2 years. He's been holding on to that title for over 2 years. But, let's get right into the highlights. Street Profits and Madcap Moss defeated Alpha Academy and Theory. He got his first name back, so he's Austin Theory again. Damage Control, which is Bailey. What was I gonna say? Bailey, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky's group. They defeat as we predicted. Bailey, Io Shirai, and Dakota Kai defeated Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. Gunther defeated Sheamus to retain the Intercontinental title. Liv Morgan defeated Shayna Baszler to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship, as I predicted. Edge and Mysterio defeat the Judgment Day. However, Dominic low-blowed Edge and clotheslined his father to seemingly join the Judgment Day. Seth Rollins defeated Matt Riddle. And then, as we mentioned, Roman Reigns defeated Drew McIntyre to retain the title. So what do you think about the – oh, and Bret Hart showed up there too.
Yeah, well, I told you I didn't get to see the pay-per-view event on yesterday, but – it looks like it was a good pay-per-view event. And did you mention the heel turn?
Yes, I did. Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the heel turn that I guess some people thought he was going to turn months in advance, I guess.
I heard the rumors of that happening, so
yeah,
I thought it was a possibility.
So, yeah, no, that's, it was very surprising, but not shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now we're going to get father versus son. Rey Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, or Dominic Guerrero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And
so,
whatchamacallit, after the match, Tyler Fury knocked out Austin Theory when he tried to cash in the Money in the Bank. And he told Drew McIntyre he should be proud of himself.
Yeah.
And, thank the crowd. I guess this might mean Tyson Fury might face Roman Reigns for the title. Possibly.
Yeah, looks like it.
So that's that's WWE. you know, their other brand, NXT, what was I going to say? They had their pay-per-view, you know, earlier today, and that's the NXT Worlds Collide going toe-to-toe with the All Out pay-per-view event. And Carmelo Hayes defeated Ricochet to retain the North American title. The Creed Brothers defeated Gallus, Josh Briggs, Brooks Jensen, and Pretty Deadly in a four-way elimination match to become the unified tag team champions. What was I going to say? Mandy Rose defeated Blair Davenport and Mikio Satomura to become the unified women's champion. Katana Chance, Kaden Carter defeated Nikki A.S.H. and Drew Dopp to retain the women's tag team championship. Bron Breakker defeated Tyler Bate to become the unified NXT champion. And on AEW, yeah, they had their All Out pay-per-view event. And, yeah, basically, yeah, let's see what happened here. I think the match might still be going on because I know the main event is Jon Moxley versus CM Punk. Let's see. I don't think that match ended yet. But here's what happened so far. Sammy Guevara and his wife Ty Mello defeated Ortiz and Ruby Soho to retain the AAA Mixed World Tag Team Championships. Hook defeated Angela Parker to retain the FTW title. Pac defeated Kip Sabian to retain the All-Atlantic Championship. Eddie Kingston defeated Tomohiro Ishii in the 0 hour part of the AEW All Out event. The Joker win the casino ladder match. The Elite defeated the Dark Order to become the inaugural trios champion. So Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, they're the new inaugural champions. So congrats to them. Jade Cargill defeated Athena to retain the TBS title. FTR and Wardlow defeated Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Ricky Starks. Swerve and Our Glory defeated the Acclaim to retain the AEW Tag Team Champions, Championships, I should say. Tony Storm defeated Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida to become the interim AEW Women's Champion after Thunder Rosa, you know, who was the champion, similar to CM Punk, she injured herself. So they had this match between these four women to determine the interim champion, which now Toni Storm, congrats to her. She, you know, she's the new AEW interim women's champion. So congrats to her. She bounced back, you know, after being, you know, in WWE and they basically misused her character, even though she was popular in NXT and in WWE. They cut her, and before the year is even over, she's now the AEW interim women's champion. So congrats to her. Christian Cage defeated Jungle Boy. Chris Jericho defeated Bryan Danielson. Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro defeated House of Black. And last but not least, CM Punk defeats Jon Moxley to become the new AEW champion. And, you know, he did it in front of his hometown crowd in Chicago, Illinois, at the Now Arena. So congrats to CM Punk. CM Punk recently lost the title to Jon Moxley in AEW Dynamite. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. And at in his home crowd, he gets the second opportunity and he wins it back. So now he is the undisputed AEW world champion. So congrats to CM Punk. He is now a two-time AEW champion.
Congrats.
So congrats to him, man. I'm sure the matches were phenomenal. AEW Full Gear will take place in New Jersey. Let's see what date that will be. That will be in November 19th. So that'll be Saturday, November 19th will be that pay-per-view event. It'll be at the Prudential Center, home of the New Jersey Devils. So yeah, folks, if you want to watch AEW, you can see it. You can see it on November 19th. And Friday night, Rampage, the day before that, will also be at the Prudential Center. So that's that. Anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
No, everyone, just enjoy your weekend. Everyone have a safe Labor Day weekend and come back and check out Sports Over London every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys, you heard the man. Live via satellite. Check out his show, IMAC. Check your local listens with that. And, of course, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And come back, hopefully, this Saturday and check out Sports Urban Legend. Every Saturday is at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.